Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Sunny Merrymeadow Podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, and today we're getting into episode 3 of the mini-series, Productivity and Efficiency Tips for Your Flower Farming. If you haven't listened to parts 1 and part 2, go back. Part 1 was on planning, part 2 was on planting, and part 3 is on harvesting. We also have next week, Monday night, July 22nd, at 8 p.m. Central Time, there is a live free Q&A webinar with myself and Emily from Tillmore, which Tillmore is that company that I talked about in episode 2 that I bought my Dibbler from. And if you haven't had a chance, just look through their website and start building your wish list. It is definitely what is going to take your flower farm, and they're not sponsoring this. This is just, these are websites that I come across and all of a sudden I'm like, yeah, other people need to know about this. And I got questions. So I'm really excited to have Emily on the webinar. If you have questions that you want to send them in, email podcast@sunnymerrymeadow.com with any of your questions, but also click the link in this episode's notes and you can go ahead and get signed up for that free webinar. About 15 minutes prior to the start time, you will get a Zoom link emailed to you. I believe when you sign up, you have to automatically click on the subscribe box or something like that, but you'll get the Zoom link sent to you. So we're going to start with harvesting and our process. So on my farm, I try to teach my team members or my volunteers or everyone that's helping. We try to have the majority of our flowers, probably 75% of them, are able to be picked. Probably 75% of our flowers are able to be picked with a pretty wide harvest window. So Lysianthus, Snapdragons, Status, Celosia, Amaranth. Those are all flowers that we have a pretty wide window of when we can harvest them. So pretty much every other day, we are harvesting everything that's ready, timing it on purpose so that if we have a you pick on Saturday morning, we're picking on Thursday evening or maybe even Thursday morning, and that's it. And then we leave it through Saturday, trying to make sure that those blooms are there. But again, there's a pretty wide harvest window, and then they can be kept for a long time in the cooler. There are a lot of other flowers, such as peonies, tulips, sunflowers, that they are needing to be picked at a certain prime time before they open up. And so those we are checking on once, if not multiple times a day. And then there are flowers like sunflowers, basil, and a couple other ones that they don't do well in the cooler. So we don't want to pick those all as they're ready and keep them in the cooler for a week because we pick those the day of the bouquets. So the process on my flower farm is those flowers with a pretty wide window of harvest time that can last longer in the cooler, pretty much every other day, 3 or 4 days a week, we are picking everything that's blooming and then skipping a day and then harvesting everything again. And then we're working out of the cooler using the oldest stuff first, which the oldest stuff is probably 2 or 3 days old. It's not like it's that old, but, you know, labeling it, putting a date on it, you know, making sure to put it in the front of the cooler or the back of the cooler or whatever, and then being really intentional about that. Whereas, you know, the zinnias, then that way, if we know we have 40 subscriptions to make on a Tuesday, and then we know that there's, you know, 3 zinnias per bouquet. Okay, let's pick roughly 150 zinnia stems as long as we're down there. And this also allows for a little bit wider window, especially, you know, let's jump back to tulips, for example. I think that tulips, for example, and then this also allows when you have the cooler, when you're harvesting, when you're making the bouquets, if there are things that have a longer vase life or last longer in the cooler, we can batch our work. So my tulips, for example, the spring subscriptions, I needed, there were 4 days where I had 40 bouquets a day. And so on Monday, I would make all of the bouquets for Monday and Tuesday. So I would make 80 bouquets on Monday. And then on Tuesday, I would make, you know, the 30 that were for Wednesday or however many it was. And then on Wednesday, I wouldn't have to make any bouquets. Just trying to, like I said, batch that work together. And then on Mondays, I would set out whatever was due to be picked up and then leave the rest in the cooler. In the summertime, when some of the flowers like zinnia, basil, sometimes the celosia, I don't love putting celosia in the cooler, but you know, the snapdragons do great and the lisianthus do great and they can be in there. The status do great. The blue thistle, I'm just looking at my field as I'm thinking about it, but those flowers that we leave in there a little bit longer or that can be in the cooler a longer time, I can go ahead and make 50 bouquets with mostly everything. You know, if there's 25 a day or there's 100, you know, over a 2 day period, I can make them all at once, have them in their vase or cup or whatever it is that we're using and put it back in the cooler. And then the day of, we just have to go pick, you know, anywhere between 100 and 200 zinnias and then put them in the bouquets as they're ready and ready to be picked up. So the bouquets are pre-made mostly when we have time to, you know, batch the work and get as much pre-work done as we can and then just plop those zinnias right in there. Another thing that we do when we're harvesting and picking is we try to process as much as we can when we're in the field and leave the mess down there. So we have our four-wheeler with a wagon behind it and then a compost wagon behind that that has like a tippy, how would I describe it? So it's basically a two-wheeled cart that tips up that you can empty out. So we have the wagon with, I believe it fits 8 5-gallon buckets of water. And when we fill that up, it goes into the what we call the bloom bar, which is an air-conditioned room that is connected to our flower shop that opens with garage doors that are insulated. And so we don't need to be lifting buckets in and out. We can put the clean buckets in there, fill them with water on the hose, and then wheel it out, hook it up to the four-wheeler, drive the whole thing down there. And then that way we're not loading and unloading full buckets of water and we're saving our backs. So then when we're down in the field, we pick the flowers and then we process the side stems and strip the stems immediately when we're in the field. Now, we're not to the point yet of the business where we really like bundle things in bunches of 10, but as more florists are buying from us, we do try to keep track. We try to make sure there's an even number. So there's 30, 40, 50, whatever in the container. And then we'll take a sticky note and stick that in there. I am looking at some options for maybe even just like flags that they use for utility markers or something like that. And then they try to, you know, just if I know that pink is 30 or blue is 40 or red is 50 or whatever, when I just stick that little flag inside of the bucket, that's something that we're looking at doing just so we know the quantities right away by glancing at it. Like, oh, there's a bucket of snapdragons. I wonder if there's 30 in there or 50 in there. There you go. Because I don't necessarily want to bundle them up with rubber bands because that can just damage the stems. And so if we don't have to do that, I don't want to. But we also need to keep track of our inventory, keep track of the volume, and not damage the flowers. We also try, and this is such an obvious thing to say, but I feel the need to say it. We have a central location for all of the tools and materials. So finally, we're able to have that space where, you know, the snips go back. Everything goes back. We have different mats that we use for when we're weeding or when we're picking or when we're harvesting, and they all just kind of stay there in the same place. And then our rule is at the end of the day, it's prepped for the next morning because no one wants to spend the next morning preparing. However, we do have some flexibility with that. Like in our team, Brittany and Lydia have something going on. I'm like, yep, go ahead and go. It's just know that you're going to have to get here in the morning. So like on our Saturday morning, you picks, they end at 7:30 or they go from 7:30 to 10:30 because we want them to be a little bit cooler. We want the weather to be nice. We don't want to be picking flowers when it's hot out, but you know, it's 10:30. We got stuff to do. It's Saturday. We want to go to the lake. We want to go see our friends. So then we usually leave the mess. But for the most part, we have a pretty strict rule of clean up before you leave so that it's ready to go when the next people get here. I also really recommend when you're bouquet making, I love having a U-shaped workspace. So imagine you're standing in the center and it is a U with an 8-foot table to your left, an 8-foot table in front of you, and an 8-foot table to your right. I will take my cups or vessels or vases or whatever it might be, put them in crates and fill them all with water so that, you know, the crates, I think they fit 15 or 18 bouquets in each crate. So I will fill up 2 or 3 crates, however many bouquets I need to, about halfway with water. And in our workspace, we have, because I'm a water snob, no, I'm not a water snob, but kind of. So my husband works for a water company. And so we actually have raw, straight well water. And we have soft water to go to the dishwasher to wash the vases and everything, because otherwise it'll leave like iron deposits. But our fresh flowers love minerals, so I don't want them to go through the filter. So we have 2 different kinds of water in the flower shop. Again, that's just a perk of marrying someone who's hot and handy. There you go. He can figure that out. So we fill up the water in the containers, and then I have those to my right. So that's the very last thing. So that's the table to my right. The table immediately in front of me is where my stem chopper is, and then the bouquet sleeves right next to them. So then the table to my left will have, you know, the 7 different kinds of flowers and a pile of each different kind of flower. And then I can go through and basically like two of these, assembly line, chop the ends of the stem, put the sleeve on them and fit them in the cup. And just like assembly line, very minimal steps. If there's 2 of us, we kind of just walk in a circle. Otherwise, we're just standing there and doing our part, handing it off to the next person who will then put it in the sleeve, put it in the cup. You know, one person will make the bouquet, chop it, hand it to the next person. That person will put it in the sleeve, put it in the cup. Honestly, with picking, processing, we've got it down to a science. We are very efficient in how we do things and make the bouquets. They're market fresh bundles. They're not arrangements. My customers know that. They are beautiful. They are lovely. They are full. But oftentimes, depending on what kind of vase they get when they bring them home, they're going to need a little bit of rearranging, and that's okay because they're not paying for that labor and that markup that would be a traditional arrangement. They're getting a market fresh bouquet with premium stems in it, and they understand that. I have trained them on that, but it used to take me forever when I would like make them in mason jars and, you know, try to arrange them within there. It's just an entirely different process. So then the last thing that I want to talk about that we are really trying to get intentional about is, now that we do a lot more event-specific arrangements rather than just our subscriptions or just our stem bars or whatever it might be, some of the flowers, like events for weddings or graduation parties or, you know, just whatever it might be, an anniversary dinner or something like that, or a party, I mean, not necessarily a gifted bouquet or a gifted arrangement, but for those events, they want the flowers looking prime on the day of the event. So they want them to be fully open, not just starting to open. They don't want them to look prime 2 or 3 days later. So this allows a lot of wiggle room for flowers that we might not necessarily put in our subscriptions, but we can utilize in those arrangements. So they're not leftovers. They're just peaked at a different time. We all peak at different times. We all bloom at different times. And so just being intentional about knowing that normally, oh, this is something that's a day old. I don't want to use it. Oh, wait, we have a wedding tomorrow. I can use it. I'll put it back in the cooler and sort it to the side rather than putting it in the compost bin. So all of those things take a lot of planning, a lot of organizing, but it really does, you know, work out pretty well. Taking a quick break from this episode to talk about invoicing. So I use QuickBooks for my invoicing because it's so easy to just add on the sales tax, take the sales tax away if they're tax exempt. You can choose all of those options. And most of the time in the comment section, I can just click on mail a check or use ACH payment. And that's the options I have for those really, really big purchases or those really, really big sales like brides or when I'm selling wholesale to another florist that has an ST3 form on file. It's just way easier. And then it only takes a 1% fee out if they do the ACH instead of a credit card. So QuickBooks makes it so easy, and I use them for my payroll, my invoicing, my sales tax, everything. There's a reason that QuickBooks will always be my employee of the month, including myself. So head to the episode notes, click the link. You will get 30% off for the first 6 months with my exclusive code. Be sure to use my code rather than just the regular website because this is the best discount you will ever get compared to directly from their website. Thanks. So as you can see, this episode is significantly shorter than the other ones, but the truth is it's shorter because it really does take less time when you are so intentional in steps one and two. So again, when you're planning and you're growing the right crops and you're growing the right quantities for what you're going to need, when you plan your crops instead of just growing a bunch of what you want and trying to make bouquets out of it and trying to figure out what colors go well together, if you grow intentionally based on what your business is going to need, you're going to just drastically reduce that waste, reduce that time, ultimately reduce the flowers that go in the compost bin, reduce that time deadheading. If you plant exactly how many snapdragons you're going to need every week for bouquets, you're not going to have a ton of extra. And that's okay because yes, not having enough is stressful, but having more to me is a way bigger problem. I would much rather reach out to other growers and get more flowers from them than have to take the time to plant, babysit, pull weeds around, pick, and then throw away flowers that are extra. To me, it's not only is it more efficient cost-wise, but it's also just mentally, it's kind of a flex. It's a little bit like, hey, I'm supporting another grower. We're working together and I didn't have to take the time to do the work and I was able to get these flowers, you know, ready to go from them. So I think, you know, obviously having your crops planned is going to be instrumental in making sure that your harvest is better. Again, having the planting and harvesting down, of course, you know, it all just trickles from the bottom. It all just trickles from step one. For the sake of this podcast episode specifically, I don't want to get into every single flower, every single stem, every single product because I have an upcoming series that's going to be coming out. I'm going to go through about 15 different flowers that either I do grow or I used to grow or I want to grow. And we're going to talk about pros and cons of growing them all, special unique needs of growing them all, and whether or not they are a good fit for your unique flower farm. Now, obviously, I can't tell you what you should grow. I can't, you know, I can just give you my experience, why it's worked well, why it hasn't. And yeah, we'll go from there. So if you have any questions, and you can definitely ask those specific questions on the webinar. Fair game for everything. But go ahead and sign up for that. And just any questions you have on getting more efficient. I know, like, it has taken me so long to get to where I am and the things that I used to spend so much time doing, it's been slashed by a fraction because ultimately, even if you're not charging, you know, even if you're like, well, you know, my labor's free, I'm a hard worker, it's fine. At the same time, look at that opportunity cost. It's time away from your family. It's time away from your day job. It's time away from spending time with your loved ones. It's time from, you know, taking care of your hobbies, whatever they might be. It's time from your friends. It's time from reading a book. It's time from relaxing. And it's time that you don't need to spend piddling around and putzing around. And it's, you know, that's the hard part when it goes from a hobby to a business, because the parts about it that you used to enjoy are now suddenly work. So I'm trying to help you think of ways to keep it be more efficient, more effective, all of those things. So I will see you guys on the upcoming webinar. And I just want to say something. The episode's going to be coming out soon, but we have reached 100,000 downloads on the podcast. And I never imagined we would reach this so quickly or at all. You know, this sharing what I have learned has been so fun and I'm so happy with it. I can't believe where it's gone. And I fully admit that I am not a professional podcast host. I didn't go to school to interview people. I sometimes get nervous. I sometimes, you know, my voice shakes or my interviewing skills aren't great. And I just am so appreciative of most of you. I'm saying that with a grain of salt, of most of you for allowing me to be a beginner. And the only way that we got to where we are is because I was humble enough to really, really suck while I was trying to get better, because I knew I wanted to do this. I knew it was a way that I could reach people that were constantly asking me questions. And I am so, so appreciative of you guys tuning in and listening and supporting me. You know, it's kind of funny. I feel like I've developed a pretty thick skin, you know, especially since my husband passed away and all of that. And now that the podcast is starting to grow even more, like I start getting those negative reviews and, you know, one saying that, you know, I talk over people when I'm interviewing or, you know, interrupt, and I'm working on it. I appreciate the reviews and, you know, whatever that might be. And literally I have 97 reviews and 2 are 2-star. And those are the 2 that I'm focusing on. One says that I talk about my husband too much, my late husband, and that I should give a trigger warning. And the other one says that I interrupt people. And I'm just trying to remind myself that, like, yep, that's probably true. I probably get nervous. I probably get excited, especially when it's over Zoom. You guys don't always see the cues, the things that are back and forth. And so I just want you guys to know, like, I know I'm not perfect. I never claim to be a host of the Today Show or whatever it might be as a professional interviewer, but I cannot thank you all enough for being here, for listening to us. And I'm just hoping that we can continue doing this, because it really is, it's turned into so much more than I would have thought. And I absolutely love being able to do this. So thank you for tuning in. Join the public group for the podcast. And yeah, we'll see you on the webinar next week. Thank you so much for listening to the Sunny Mary Meadow podcast. We actually have a different website for you to go to now, and we are so excited. So sunnymarymeadow.com is still my flower farm and ways to come here and get flowers. But the podcast is going to be hosted on sunnymarymeadowcoaching.com. So make sure you head over there and check out the new blog section. That's right. We found a way to put every episode into written form, all of the links, and you can even search by topic to find all of the episodes there. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen, and please consider leaving a 5-star review so you can find it. You can find us on Facebook. Sunny Mary Meadow is still for the flower farm, but we have a group, Sunny Mary Meadow Podcast Flowerers, and that is the group for the podcast. And then of course, Instagram at Sunny Mary Meadow is exactly where you're going to find everything. Thank you so much for listening.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. SunnyMaryMeadow.com.